This weekend, we've got three tournaments in action, all three major tours, PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, Champions Tour. So we'll get to the leaderboards right now. First of all, the PGA Tour in Duluth, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, the AT&T Classic on Greg Norman's 7,300-yard par 72 TPC Sugarloaf track. And after three rounds of play, Charles Howell III, the Augusta, Georgia native, is in the lead, minus 13, 203. One shot ahead of Kenny Perry, alone in second at 12 under par, 204. There's a three-way tie for third at minus 11. David Toms, Ryan Palmer, and Jonathan Bird, who Bird, by the way, was the 18 and 36-hole leader, but he kind of backed up yesterday with a one over par 73. Those three men tied for third at minus 11, two shots back of Howell. You've got two men tied for sixth at minus 10, Heath Slocum and Ryuji Amada, who lost in a two-way playoff last year to Zach Johnson. Justin Boley alone at minus 9, four shots back of Howell III. Then you've got five men tied for ninth at minus 8, including Camilo Vajegas, the Florida Gator, Steve Elkington, and Palm Beach resident Brett Quigley. Then you've got four more players at seven under par, including Matt Kuchar, a Georgia Tech grad. Of course, he's got some Georgia roots, and Bubba Watson. But Pat, after three rounds of play, Charles Howell III is in the lead. And here's a guy, Chucky Three Sticks, who's only got two career victories so far in his career. Oodles and oodles of talent. He's got a great swing, hits it a mile, especially for his size. But you would think he would have won more than he has up until this point in his career. And he's got the one-shot lead going into today's final round. Probably poised to get his third career win, especially considering it's in his home state.
Yeah, I mean, he's there. He's got the lead, but I wouldn't discount Kenny Perry, David Toms, any of these guys within really four or five shots of the lead. Charles Howell, you know, had one top 10 finish so far this year, but that was back in January, I think, at the Mercedes. So, and he played well early in the year. Last year, he got that win at Riviera against Mickelson in the playoff. So Charles seems to play better in the beginning part of the year. As you mentioned, Augusta native, so he is familiar with Georgia, and I'm sure has played this course 1,000 times, even maybe before becoming a professional. So I would expect him to play well, but the fact is, as you mentioned, Russ, he has not won a lot. So, you know, there's some demons there, you know, with finishing the deal. So it's going to be tough for him. But you know, if you're going to have to give somebody the edge, it's probably going to be him.
You know, there are a lot of great names at the top of this leaderboard. David Toms, a 10-time winner on the PGA Tour, of course, won his one major right there in Atlanta,
That's
the
right.
2001 PGA, knocking in that 5-wood from 240 yards for a hole-in-one en route to that victory. But, you know, David Toms has got 10 career wins. Kenny Perry's got 9 career victories. If he were to win today, that would be his 10th. Jonathan Bird has won a couple times on the PGA Tour. Brett Quigley still looking for his first career win, but is a big-time name. Steve Elkington is a former PGA championship winner as well. He won at Riviera back about a decade ago. Camilo Vajegas still looking for his first career victory. Bubba Watson as well. But a lot of big names, very few of the big names missing the cut this week. So luckily, a field that wasn't stellar. Fortunately for this tournament, all the big names near the top of the leaderboard after three rounds of play, led by Charles Howell, and then Kenny Perry just one shot back in second. Now, there's been some wet weather. They played Live Clean in Place on both Thursday and Friday this week. They played the ball down yesterday, but today they're expecting some wet weather starting at 3 p.m. this afternoon. So they're going off in threesomes from both sides, 1 and 10, starting at 8 o'clock, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So everyone will be on the course by 10 o'clock, going off in threesomes from both sides. Probably change the dynamic just a little bit. So that final grouping will be Charles Howell III, Kenny Perry, and David Toms. It's a nice-looking threesome there in the final pairing, Pat. But this is a great course. It's a Greg Norman design. TPC Sugarloaf is one of Greg Norman's first ever designs, opened about a decade ago. It's got some nice holes. We always talk about drivable par fours. The 13th hole, 305-yard drivable par four. It's always one of my favorite holes to watch on any given week when there is one on a tournament like Riviera number 10. We talk about it all the time. TPC Scottsdale 17. You know, the FBR event, the 16th hole gets all the press, but 17's, for me, more fun to watch because it's a drivable par four. Then you've got, probably for my money, one of the top 10 best finishing holes on the PGA Tour, the 18th, the par 5, starts out left, comes back right. You know, I was reading an article this week in Golf World previewing Torrey Pines for the U.S. Open. You know, this par 5 at Sugarloaf is very similar to the 18th par 5 at Torrey Pines, with that lake there on the left, the green there on the right, and then you got sand behind. So if you go forward in two and you're a little long, you're in the bunker, and then you're hitting a sand shot to a green that runs away from you towards water.
No, that's a good point, Russ. 18 at Torrey Pines, not as hilly as 18 at Sugarloaf, as you mentioned. You're hitting it out of it almost a chute, and then the hole falls down to the right. I got a chance to play this course last a year ago, October, and that hole, I just can't imagine people going for that thing in two. I hit a good drive there, and I still had like 270 out. And the green looks like a little anthill from where you're trying to hit it. You're going to hit a 3-wood to that thing. But obviously, these guys are a lot better player than I am. But
Charles Howell hit a 3-iron yesterday.
It's really scary because I know guys go for that a lot, too, and reach it. But, man, it's a scary-looking hole. And like you said, 18 with all the pressure, whoever's coming to that hole with a chance to win it and have to make a decision to go for that, too. It's good for a lot of risk-reward. It makes for entertaining TV.
By the way, Charles Howell, the third after three rounds of play, leading at minus 13. 10 of those 13 strokes on par fives. He's 10 under par for the week through 54 holes on par fives. That leads the field. LPGA Tour is in action this weekend in upstate New Jersey at Upper Montclair Country Club in Clifton, New Jersey. The 6,400-yard par 72 track. It's the Sybase Classic. And after two rounds of play, this event was originally a four-round, 72-hole tournament, but it was shortened to 54 holes Friday's second round after only a third of the field was on the course and the lead groups were through seven or eight holes. That entire round was washed out with two-thirds of the field still had yet to tee off, so it was shortened to a 54-hole tournament. And after two rounds of play, 36 holes, Lorena Ochoa is your leader. Number one player in the world is at minus nine. Sophie Gustafson and Teresa Liu are both at minus seven. Na Yan Choi and H.J. Choi are both at 6 under par. Brittany Lang is alone in 6th at minus 5. Then you got three players at 4 under par. Christy McPherson, Katrina Matthew, and Annika Sorenstam, who are all at 4 under par. Annika started this tournament with a 5 under par 67. She was tied for the lead after Thursday. Backs up in a huge way yesterday in her round 2 with a 1 over par 73. So after going into the second round with the lead, she now trails Ochoa by 5 shots. And Pat, this is the 6th time this year that Annika and Lorena are in the same field. In the previous 5 times, one of the two ladies has won. Ochoa won at the HSBC. Annika finished 2nd. Ochoa won at the Safeway. Annika finished 9th. Ochoa won the Kraft Nabisco. Annika came in runner-up 2nd. Ginn Open, Ochoa wins. Annika finishes 44th. And then a couple weeks ago, the Michelob, actually last week, Michelob at Kingsmill, Annika won and Ochoa finished 12th. So 5 times, 5 wins by one of the two ladies. This is the 6th. And hey, your money's got to be on Ochoa going into today's final round.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to put my money on her. But here's what I don't understand, Russ, is the LPGA, in this circumstance where we talked about Annika announcing her retirement, how many more times is she going to get to go against Ochoa? This is one of them, especially the first tournament coming after the announcement. You would think that the LPGA, Russ, would do whatever they can to get this thing in 4 rounds. It's not like yesterday's round was wiped out and they only had sort of today to figure this out. It was Friday's round. Figure out how to get 4 rounds out of this thing so these two can have a real chance to compete against each other. With only one round to go, Annika's probably too far back to really make a charge at her. But, man, even if they had to finish this thing on Monday, it's light till 8 o'clock now. Figure out a way to get 4 rounds in when you got these two women who aren't going to get a chance to compete against each other much longer. I just think it was a boner move by the LPGA not to figure out a way to get into the additional round in.
Very questionable decision on Friday. Just one-third, as I mentioned, just one-third of the field was on the course at the time. The lead groups had gotten through 7 or 8, so none of the groups, part of their decision was none of the groups had finished a front nine or a back nine. None of the groups had finished any half of the course, so that was part of the reason that they decided to scrap the whole thing. I hate to play devil's advocate, but none of the big-time names were out on the course either. Annika hadn't teed off yet. Lorena hadn't teed off yet. None of the real big names in the tournament had teed off yet. So some of those lesser-known players who were playing well, there were some players that were 3 and 4 under par through 8 holes. They were ticked off, but the problem was they didn't start the round under lift, clean, and place rules, so therefore, you can't start that mid-round. So, and it was getting sloppy out there. And they figured if they suspended play, they would have to suspend it for the rest of the day and continue the second round on Saturday morning. And they felt that the players that had already teed off and played 7 and 8 holes in the real muck and wetness, they would be at a distinct disadvantage to the players that would tee off Saturday morning and start their round in much drier conditions.
Well, you make a good case, Russ, if you were a spokesman for the LPGA. I'm just saying, figure out a way to get these two to get four rounds in so they can do it.
I agree with
you. Those other players, who cares?
I'm explaining their explanation.
I
agree with you.
I know exactly what you're saying. They're trying to be fair to everybody.
See, now here's a contrast. The PGA Tour was very, you know... Now, Thursday's first round, the first players off at Sugarloaf, it wasn't raining yet, and it was just a little damp, and yet they're playing Lift Clean in Place, and you're saying, what the hell are they playing Lift Clean in Place for? Well, the reason was, Thursday afternoon, it started pouring, and it got real wet. They actually had to delay play for half an hour, but they thought ahead, and they saw that coming, so they started the round under Lift Clean in Place. Therefore, they were able to get the whole round in. I mean, that's forward thinking. LPGA, unfortunately, did not do that Friday in New Jersey.
I just think the LPGA has blown a real good chance, again, with the two leading women players that they have right now, especially one announcing her retirement, not going to get a chance to play that often together in future tournaments, to get a full tournament in for these two to have a real chance to compete against each other. It's exactly what you said. There's not forward thinking. Russ, if they had to, they could get two rounds in yesterday or three rounds in yesterday. It's a lot. It is a lot of golf. I understand that. But, man, you know, you got to figure out a way to do it.
So the sixth time this year that Annika and Ochoa are in the same field, Lorena had won four of those previous five. Annika won last week at the Michelob. So every time one of these two ladies is in the field together, one of them wins. And you would think that Lorena might have the inside track to victory number five for her on the year. Actually, victory number six for her on the year, and fifth when Annika is also in the field. Champions Tour, real quickly before we get to Jimmy Buell, and it's the Regions Charity Classic in Hoover, Alabama, the 7,500-yard par 72.
These old guys can't hit it that far.
Longest track of the year for the Champions Tour, 7,500-yard par 72, Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail, Ross Bridge Track in Hoover, Alabama, which is just outside of Birmingham. And after two rounds of play, a Florida Gator is in the lead. Andy Bean is at minus 11, 133, one shot ahead of Mike Goodis, who is really a no-name on the Champions Tour, has played very few events in his career. Goodis is at minus 10, 134, one shot back of Bean. Two-way tie for third. Dennis Watson, Lauren Roberts are both at minus 9. Mike Hulbert alone in fifth. Davis Love III's caddy is at minus 8. And Joey Sindelar alone in sixth at 7 under par. Yeah, Pat, that was going to be my big point. 7,500 yards. Who knew that these oldies but goodies could be shooting 4 and 5 and 6 under par on a 7,500-yard track in Alabama? It's not like it's in Mexico City.
I was going to say, these. it must be unbelievably hilly or something, but you're right. That's a lot of yardage for you and I. You know,
that's way too much yardage for me,
Pat. 7,300 yards. This one's 200 yards longer than that. So
I'm comfortable at 6,500 yards.
I am comfortable in that range myself. So I would like to see the course layout to see what comprises that 7,500 yards. But if it's relatively flat, which it probably isn't, but if it is, man, these guys are... Andy Bean's about playing out of his mind.
Yeah, well, Andy Bean's always been one of the longest players anyway. No surprise that a couple of the longest players on tour, Dennis Watson and Andy Bean, are in the top three there. Andy Bean going into today's final round with the lead. Real quickly, before we get to Jimmy Buell, PGA Teaching Pro from Abaco, I want to let you know about Transworld Business.